All right, I call the Health and Social Services Committee to order at 3:11 p.m. on Thursday, April 4th. Welcome back. Today we are in Davis Room 106. Please silence your cell phones out of courtesy to those in attendance. Committee members today are Representative McCormick, Representative Fields, Representative Mina, and myself, Vice Chair Ruffridge. So we do have a quorum to do business. The committee aide for today is Eric Cordero. Please pass any correspondence through Mr. Cordero to correspond with the committee. I'd also like to thank House Records, Cheryl Cole, and Zachary Lawhorn, our teleconference moderator. Thanks for being here today. Today on the agenda, we have confirmation of the governor's appointees. We will be hearing from David Barnes for the State Medical Board, Denise Albert, Board of Veterinary Examiners, Rebecca Dean, State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board, Kayla Green, Board of Marital and Family Therapy, and we'll hear public testimony on these appointments as well. And we will have the initial hearing of SB 91, Telehealth Multidisciplinary Care Team, sponsored by Senator Klayman. And we will hear invited and public testimony on this bill. First up, we do have the confirmation of Governor's appointee David Barnes for the State Medical Board. Mr. Barnes, if you would please put yourself on the record and give us an introduction to yourself and why you wish to continue to serve on the medical board.
Hi, this is Dr. David Barnes, internal medicine from Wasilla. Thanks for the opportunity to update you. I've been on the board since February of last year. I was asked to fill in a vacancy. I'll give a short background. I'm from southern Minnesota, grew up in Mankato, Minnesota. My grandfather had farms in northern Iowa, so I spent summers working on the farms up through high school. Graduated from Gustavus Adolphus College in southern Minnesota with a degree in Russian studies and most of my pre-med work done. I also got a private pilot's license, instrument rating, commercial license, certified flight instructor certificates. I then took a detour from medicine and worked for the National Security Agency in a highly classified position for 9 years. In 1995, I think it was, went to medical school in the University of North Texas in Fort Worth. Then did my residency in internal medicine at the largest private hospital in Denver, St. Joseph Hospital. After graduating, finishing residency, I worked as a hospitalist in the biggest hospital in Denver with a large group called Critical Care and Pulmonary Consultants. We basically ran the ICUs and medical wards, took all admissions in the hospital. Then came up to Valley Hospital in 2003, where I did a joint outpatient-inpatient practice, working in the emergency room and running an outpatient clinic up here for about 5.5 to 6 years. When we got a hospitalist group working at Valley Hospital, I switched to just pure outpatient clinic work, and that's where I've been since then. My main reason for being on the board is I want to participate in regulating the practice of medicine here in the state, you know, per the legal statutes. Contributing to professionalism in the medical industry, you know, protecting both the public and healthcare providers also. I also have concerns about just the unique nature of Alaska with the rural village community, just the rural nature in general, village or not. And I think we need to focus on that quite a bit too. Are there any questions I can answer?
Thank you for your introduction. Are there any questions for Dr. Barnes? Representative Mina.
Thank you, Vice Chair Ruffridge. Through the chair, thank you, Dr. Barnes, for putting your name forward for reappointment. I will ask, how has your experience been serving on the State Medical Board? What are big issues that the board is facing and issues that you see the biggest issues facing physicians and other folks underneath the State Medical Board in Alaska currently?
That is something I could probably talk about for hours. The biggest, I'm not sure how much of it affects us. A lot of it is insurance and being a barrier to to care. I cannot tell you the degree of frustration I go through every day doing prior authorizations and having, you know, orders for MRIs and consultations and labs refused and argued over and medications that were previously approved and are no longer approved. I've actually told patients to call the insurance commissioner in the state, and maybe this is something the legislature could address. When we as physicians write orders for MRI, you know, whatever it is, a study or a medication, we aren't getting paid for that. We're writing those orders, making those choices based on what is, you know, appropriate for the patient. Let me bring up an example. Vitamin D used to be something that was routinely checked and it wasn't a problem. But last year, a number of Blue Cross Blue Shield sub-insurances, just groups within Blue Cross Blue Shield, they stopped paying for it. Well, that might not sound like a big deal. It's just a vitamin. However, vitamin D is toxic if it's above 100, and vitamin D levels between 61 and 100 can cause kidney stones, which can result in complete kidney failure and dialysis. And so we are faced with insurance companies dictating what can be done and what can't be done. If I have a patient come in who's on vitamin D and I'm not allowed to check it and the patient can't afford to pay cash for the test with the laboratory, they are regulating what we can do. That is my biggest frustration. And I cannot tell you how that has changed in the last 20 years up here either. It's just unreal.
Follow up.
Thank you, Vice Chair Ruffridge. Thank you for your answer, Dr. Barnes. And I will let you know that there is a bill that we have been working on related to prior authorization in this committee. I just wanted to follow up and also ask a bit more about your current experience being on the state medical board and issues that you've been working on that are significant to the profession.
The majority is just, you know, regulation of physicians. That, I think, is the biggest thing we end up getting involved in. I get multiple cases per week where we have to review them and determine whether discipline is required, discipline is not required. The PA situation started before I got involved, and that was an eye-opener for me. When I first read it over, you know, everybody was saying, well, yeah, we should probably have a bigger pre-employment, you know, experience level on the PAs. It sounded good on paper, but then after talking to people and seeing everything, we've all reconsidered on that. And if we change, you know, and make a higher level of experience necessary, we're not going to have rural health care. And, you know, that's a huge thing right now that all of us support now, getting PAs out into the rural environment and all that sort of thing. I think that's been one of the biggest things we've dealt with.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for working on this in the legislature. Please, if there's anything you can do to help us fight the insurance companies, it is the biggest barrier to health care.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Barnes. Representative Sumner.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I move House Bill 187, version 33-LS0696/A. From committee with attached individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes, and I authorize Ledge Legal to make technical and conforming changes.
Is there objection to moving House Bill 187 from committee? All right, hearing none. I guess, Mr. Barnes, your testimony on your own medical board appointment has resulted in the prior authorization bill having extra effort put in today. So thank you for your testimony. And
thank you. I have a big grin on my face right now. I didn't expect that at all. Didn't even know anything about it.
Nor did I. So thank you for that, Mr. Dr. Barnes. I will take a brief at ease while we take care of that situation. And then we will come back and open up public testimony. Brief at ease. All right, back on record in House Health and Social Services. For the record, Representative Sumner did join us at 3:15, and then we are in the middle of the confirmation for Mr. Barnes. Dr. Barnes, thank you for your testimony. So we do need to open up public testimony for the appointment of Dr. Barnes. Public testimony is now open.
Will you need me any further?
You can stay online, Mr. Barnes, and be just 1 second. We'll come back to you. So is there anyone in the room wishing to testify on Dr. Barnes' appointment? Seeing none, is there anyone online? Also seeing none, I will close public testimony for Dr. Barnes. Back in front of the committee, any further committee comments or questions for Dr. Barnes? Okay, seeing none, thank you, Dr. Barnes. Since there is no further testimony, we will move on to the next item of business, and we will sign the paperwork for all of the consideration of appointees once we finish the rest of the appointments. Representative Sumner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House Bill 366, version 33-LS1431/A from committee with attached individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Thank you, Representative Sumner. Is there objection? Okay, seeing none. That was House Bill 366, Representative. House Bill 366 has been reported from committee. We will take a brief at ease to sign that paperwork. Brief at ease. All right, back on the record. Next up, we have confirmation of the governor's appointee, Denise Albert, to the Board of Veterinary Examiners. Ms. Albert, please put yourself on the record, and please give us an introduction and explain your qualifications for this appointment.
Through the chair, good afternoon, Representative. Thank you for inviting me to meet with you today. My name is Dr. Denise Albert. I've been a member of the Alaska Board of Veterinary Examiners for the last 4 years. And hope you will allow me to continue for a second term. I was awarded my DVM degree in 1986, continued on in an internship in small animal medicine and surgery in Boston, Massachusetts, and later chose a 3-year postdoctoral program in comparative veterinary pathology through the National Institute of Health at Harvard Medical School and Angel Memorial Animal Hospital, also in the Boston area. I first came to Alaska chasing sled dogs in 1995 and then moved here in 2001 and bought land in Denali with my partner, Mark Nordman, and built a home where we've lived since. Over the years, I've worked in general practice with licenses in 8 states. And for 17 years, I volunteered on marathon and mid-distance sled dog races in Alaska, the lower 48, and internationally, serving as head vet on the centennial running of the All-Alaska Sweepstakes Race, the Grand Portage Passage Race, and the stage race in Patagonia. I also assisted with government-funded clinical research studies with sled dogs here in Alaska for 8 years. In semi-retirement, I no longer practice full-time in clinics, but remain engaged locally in sled dog work, consulting for the Denali National Park Sled Dog Patrol Kennel. I do vaccine clinics in Fairbanks 1 to 2 times monthly, and I support Mark in his business endeavors. After backing off of full-time practice, I looked for a way to support the profession and serve the public and thought I'd try my hand on the board. I've been on a steep learning curve in regulatory medicine ever since and feel that I've been an active member. It led me to become involved with the National Regulatory Organization, who oversees all U.S. states and Canadian provinces, the American Association of Veterinary State Boards. This resulted in my recent appointment to their Finance Committee in a 4-year term. This is a brief overview of who and where I am at this time. I hope you'll support my reappointment to the Alaska Board of Veterinary Examiners. I'd be happy to answer any of your questions to the best of my ability. Thank you for your time and consideration today.
And thank you for your introduction, Ms. Albert. Is there any questions from committee members? Representative Mina.
Thank you, Vice Chair Ruffridge. Through the chair, thank you, Ms. Albert, for putting your name forward on the board for reappointment. What, in your time on the board, what are the big issues that you have been working on, and what are big issues that you see facing the profession?
One of the biggest successes that we've had since I've been on the board has been the culmination of 8 years of work to correct the prescription drug monitoring program laws that were originally created without input from the veterinary medical profession, resulting in problematic things happening to practices statewide. And so the success of the governor signing that was huge thing for a huge move forward for the board. We've been working on addressing, since I started in 2020, we've been addressing the arrival, the positives and negatives of telehealth, and trying to work to ensure that a standard of care is maintained along with the quality of care of the veterinary profession by instituting a change in regulation or an update in regulation of the veterinarian-client-patient relationship. There's a lot of, or a number of, antiquated regulations on the books. Some of them date back to 1970, 1980, and so we're trying to review and gradually, one by one, work through those. We have a small board of four. We've been lacking a member for probably 3 years now. And we have two that have become, their end date was a month ago, but they're continuing on at this point. I don't know about replacements if they're occurring, hopefully so. But we're also working to enhance the eligibility of applicants for licensure in the state for veterinarians and technical staff, and working on updating our regulations in that way. We recently also got approval for acceptance of PAVE, which is the modern testing system for international applicants. Those are a few things that we're working on, and I'm hoping that I can continue to help with that process.
Thank you. Any follow-up, Representative Mina?
No, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for Dr. Albert? Okay, seeing none, I will open up public testimony now for Dr. Albert. Testimony is limited to 3 minutes. Public testimony is now open. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none. Anyone online? Also none. We will close public testimony. Bringing back to the committee, any other questions, comments for Dr. Albert? Okay, seeing none, thank you, Dr. Albert, being with us today, and we will forward your name to the full legislature, and we will sign that paperwork once we finish the rest of the hearings today. Next up, we have the confirmation for the governor's appointee to the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board, Rebecca Dean. Ms. Dean, thank you for joining us today via Teams. Please put yourself on the record and give us your qualifications to be on the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board.
Thank you. Through the Vice Chair Rutledge and committee members, for the record, my name is Rebecca Sue Dean. I reside at 493 Valley View Drive in Fairbanks, Alaska. And thank you for entertaining my desire to remain on the board and to be confirmed. Through the chair, I arrived in Alaska in June of 1987 as a military spouse, and I've been a permanent resident of Alaska for the past 36 years. I've worked 33 of those years as a senior healthcare executive with private medical group practice, with a hospital-based health system, and as a business consultant. I continue to work diligently to monitor changes and to focus on the quality of delivering care in a safe, efficient, and ethical delivery environment with maximum access for all patients. I worked as a direct physical therapy department administrative manager during my career, and I've spent 35 years recruiting, hiring, applying for provider and clinician licensing and credentialing. I understand the process of licensing and the ethical responsibilities that accompany the role of a board member. I hold a master's degree in business, and I own Dean and Associates, LLC, Healthcare and Strategic Business Management Consulting. I have more than 37 years experience in healthcare management of practice operations, efficiency, governance, and leadership. I hold no direct financial interest in the healthcare industry, and I have no conflict of interest to serve on this board. I've just completed my first term as the public board member for the Alaska Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Licensing Board, and I'm committed to continuing to serve as an engaged and dedicated member of this board. I bring regulatory board competency and healthcare delivery expertise with my participation on the board. I'm the current designated voting delegate board member to the National Federation of State Physical Therapy Boards, and I participate in all meetings representing our Alaska jurisdiction and the issues that we identify and face as a board. I attend monthly training sessions and meetings for the continued education directed to the regulatory board members' responsibilities and awareness of issues and the trends that are creating pressing regulatory focus impacting the physical therapy and occupational therapy clinicians. Participation at this level of involvement allows me to bring relevant information back to the board and increase my knowledge and skill as the public board member. I believe that my board participation as a public member brings balance between the clinician board member perspective and the patient consumer perspective and expectations. I currently serve on the Federation of State Physical Therapy Board's National Task Force for defining best practices for informed consent for the patient to ensure that a new standard is developed that'll be the best standard of care of informing patients both of the advantages of a procedure or treatment as well as the risk. I understand patient and public safety being our number one priority for the board, and we also understand the continued open access for care is critical to all of our communities, both in our urban areas and the rural areas. The why I serve on this board is that the current Board of Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy is actively engaged and works diligently to perform the designated roles and responsibilities for the board. We recently began a strategic plan review and have identified initiatives moving forward. I personally have a strong sense of professional responsibility, and I enjoy working as a collaborative member of the board. I believe that everyone who commits to a career has a responsibility to participate, leave a legacy both in the career path and by contributing to civil duties. Thank you so much for your consideration of my application. I appreciate your support, and I'm happy to provide any feedback or questions you may have.
And thank you for your testimony. Is there any questions or comments for Ms. Dean? Representative Mina.
Thank you, Vice Chair Ruffridge. Through the Vice Chair, thank you, Ms. Dean, for putting your name for reappointment and for your work on the board and also your service on a national level. I would like to ask about your experience being on the board, big issues that you've been working on, and big issues that you see ahead for the physical and occupational therapy professions.
Thank you. Through the chair, I would like to outline for you our strategic initiatives that will respond to the question. The Alaska Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board clearly supports the Physical Therapy Compact, SB 74 and HB 137. We are in full support and recognize that the Physical Therapy Compact will provide for the patient safety and protection through extensive links to all of the other compact states and the reporting system for protection and safety, as well as provide flexibility for interstate licensing for applicants, which would then really help with our workforce for clinicians in the state, both physical therapists and eventually occupational therapists for their compact as well. Providing a more accessible way to enter our state and share the licensing requirements. We're very hopeful that this will expand the clinicians that are willing to relocate to Alaska and open that access of care for physical therapy. We also want to work toward updating and continuing an update on the scope of practice for physical therapy and occupational therapists. And we've recognized recently not only the clinical trends that we need to update, but also that clinicians need to be prepared to understand business and leadership in their clinical roles so that they can help expand the access to care in our state. We've been reviewing and revising the continuing education requirements that are needed to fulfill licensure in the state of Alaska for physical therapists and occupational therapists. And we're focused on defining and expanding continuing education opportunities. We've made a commitment to stay consistently focused on current national best practices and standards to being bring back into our systems here in the state. We want to retain a focus and also research the data on recruitment needed and retention of keeping the qualified clinicians in the workforce in the state. We're beginning a focus on creating a fair and standardized disciplinary matrix that will clarify the board's role and involvement for disciplinary measures for the clinicians in our state. We've started a focus on streamlining the administrative process throughout requirements for our licensing to include refocusing on forms and applications. And this goes hand in hand with supporting the physical therapy compact bills. Streamlining that access to information on applicants is critical. And we want to work to provide better access for licensees to information to clarify statutory and regulatory guidelines as it applies to public safety by improving methods of communication pathways to licensees and their access for full information. Thank you for the question.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? Seeing none, I will open public testimony on the consideration for Ms. Dean. Public testimony is now open. Anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none. Is there anyone online wishing to testify? Also none. I will close public testimony. Any further consideration, comments from or questions from committee members? Seeing none. Thank you for being with us today, Ms. Dean. We will be forwarding your name to the full legislature, and we will be signing that paperwork after our last confirmation of the afternoon. Thank you again for being here. Lastly, for consideration of confirmations, we have the governor's appointee, Kayla Green, to the Board of Marital and Family Therapy. Please, Ms. Green, put yourself on the record and explain a little bit about yourself and your qualifications to be on the Board of Marital and Family Therapy.
To the Vice Chair, my name is Kayla Green. I'm from Eagle River, Alaska, and I have a bachelor's in psychology, a master's in business administration, also a master's in human resources management. I have spent over 15 years in operations in hospital settings, such as South Central Foundation and North Star Behavioral Health. I have been a public member on this board for a few years and looking for a second term to continue focusing on what we as a board can do to help people get licensed, how we can help with the continuing education process, continue our telehealth efforts that we pushed through the pandemic and have continued to work on. Things that we're going to be considering in our next meeting, which is actually later on this month, is Senate Bill 225 and House Bill 314, which all have to do with licensure fees. We also are continuing to discuss the budget for marriage and family therapy. What really needs to be considered is how long can we continue to operate at this level? And I think with my background in business, as well as having an understanding about healthcare, adds to the viewpoint that I can give for ways to be more successful as a board, to ensure that we are providing the resources for those who hold marriage and family therapy licenses, and how we can just continue in making Alaska better for everyone, everyone that utilizes the services, and find ways that we can support the state better.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there questions or comments from committee members? Representative Mina.
Thank you, Vice Chair Ruffridge. Through the chair, first of all, it's good to hear your voice, Kayla, and thank you for bringing your name forward for this board. I'll ask the same question that I've asked everyone else. What has been your experience working on the board and big issues that the board is facing? And additionally, what big issues do you see facing the marital and family therapist profession?
Yeah, the big issues is how long is it fiscally able to stay the way it is. Our board fees are quite high, higher than like those with like social work. And we're trying to figure out ways to make it more affordable, trying to find ways to make continuing education more accessible. We had recently updated our continuing education requirements to where we could have some online or more online than those that were like in person. That creates flexibility for people with their schedules. And then overall, still looking at the budget, we have high fees because we are such a small group. And if we were able to combine with another group, we might be able to lessen those fees, but there's things that still need to be considered. So we're going to maintain focusing on that when it comes to budgets, our licensing fees, continuing education, and then a stronghold, you know, to maintain our telehealth, and then license portability, transferring of licenses. We want to make it as accessible to people coming from out of state and for those who are transferring their license due to a military spouse or being in the military themselves. That way we can still support Alaska as a whole to ensure that services continue without interruption.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Green. Any further questions, comments? Seeing none, I will open up public testimony on the confirmation for Kayla Green. Public testimony is now open. Is there anybody in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, is there anyone online wishing to testify? Also none. I will close public testimony. Bringing it back to the committee, is there any committee comments or questions from Ms. Green? Seeing none. This actually does bring us then to the end of the consideration of the governor's appointees. So the House Health and Social Services Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the appointees. David Barnes to the State Medical Board, Denise Albert to the Board of Veterinary Examiners, Rebecca Dean to the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board, and Kayla Green to the Board of Marital and Family Therapy. And we will send their nomination to the full legislature for consideration. Signing this report does not reflect any individual recommendation or approval or disapproval. We will take a brief at ease to sign the committee report. Brief at ease. All right, welcome back on record. House Health and Social Services. Next up is the initial hearing of Senate Bill 91, Telehealth, Multidisciplinary Care Team, sponsored by Senator Clayman. Welcome, Senator, and staff. Today we will be hearing invited and public testimony. I believe an amendment deadline was already set on this bill. And so I don't think we had any amendments yet today, but say again.
At ease.
Proud.
All right, back on record, Representative Mina, your question was there is an amendment, but that amendment was not going to be offered at this time. So thank you, Representative Mina. We do have some invited testimony today, Gail Brayton and Brooke Lavender. And we also have online for questions available, Director Rob from CBPL. So, Senator Clayman, without further ado, please introduce us to SB 91.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the Health and Social Services Committee. For the record, I'm Matt Clayman, Senator for District H in West Anchorage. Our office began work on Senate Bill 91 in the summer of 22 after we were contacted by a constituent who had recently been diagnosed with ALS, a rare degenerative disease that leads to paralysis and death within 2 to 5 years. There is no cure for ALS, but treatment by multidisciplinary care teams is the standard of care today because it's proven to be significantly better treatment and to extend a patient's quality of life. Upon receiving her diagnosis, Sheila Swanson flew to Seattle to receive specialty care treatment at an ALS multidisciplinary care clinic. When she returned home, Sheila was told that she could continue to receive telehealth care from her physician, that she would need to fly to Seattle to receive in-person care from the other 7 members of her multidisciplinary care team, including a respiratory therapist, speech language pathologist, physical therapist, and other healthcare providers. Sheila travels each quarter to receive care from her multidisciplinary care team, but there will come a day when she will be unable to do so. Sheila's written testimony is included in your bill packet. I encourage you to read her letter to read about her experience. Receiving the kind of care Sheila needs is not possible in Alaska. There are about 30 Alaskans with ALS diagnoses and no clinics that specialize in this area of care. I would prefer that this health care be available in Alaska, but as a practical matter, specialized care for rare diseases is available in large cities with major medical centers and a higher volume of patients. In 2022, the legislature passed House Bill 265, which created a framework in statute for telehealth and ensured Alaskans' access to critical health care. The legislation before you amends House Bill 265 by adding members of out-of-state multidisciplinary care teams as an option for telehealth when an Alaskan is suffering from a life-threatening condition and the multidisciplinary care is not reasonably available in our state. To address patient protection, Senate Bill 91 ensures that all out-of-state members of the multidisciplinary care team are subject to Alaska's regulatory authority. Senate Bill 91 also aligns multidisciplinary care teams with the current registration process for Alaska's telemedicine business registry. Senate Bill 91 will expand the telehealth options so that Alaskans with life-threatening conditions can receive the specialized care they need while remaining in their local support network whenever possible. Thank you for hearing this legislation today. My staff, Clara Lubke, will take you through a sectional analysis of the bill, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Senator Clayman. Ms. Lubke.
For the record, my name is Clara Lubke, and I'm staff to Senator Clayman. Section 1 of this bill amends AS 0802130 by adding a new subsection C, which allows out-of-state members of a physician's multidisciplinary care team to provide telehealth services for ongoing treatment or follow-up care regarding a suspected or diagnosed life-threatening condition for which multidisciplinary care is not reasonably available in state. Section 2 amends AS 0802130 to change the definition of healthcare provider in Section J1 to include a member of a multidisciplinary care team who is licensed in another state. Section 3 amends AS 0802130 to create a definition for member of a multidisciplinary care team in subsection 5 to mean an audiologist, speech-language pathologist, behavior analyst, professional counselor, dietitian, nutritionist, naturopath, marital and family therapist, podiatrist, osteopath, physician assistant, nurse, pharmacist, physical therapist, occupational therapist, psychologist or psychological associate, or a social worker who is a member of a team that includes a physician licensed in another state who meets the requirements of B1 of this section. Section 4 adds 2 new sections to existing telehealth statute. AS 0802135 creates grounds for imposition of disciplinary sanctions on out-of-state multidisciplinary care team members, and AS0802140 describes the department's options for those disciplinary sanctions. Section 5 amends the Telemedicine Business Registry Statute AS4433381, subsection B, by adding that the department may renew every 2 years the registration of a business that meets all renewal requirements established by regulation and pays a renewal fee every 2 years. And finally, Section 6 further amends AS4433381 to create a new subsection D that includes the types of fees that the department shall charge businesses performing telemedicine services in the state, including an initial registration fee, a renewal fee, and a fee for changes in business information. That concludes the sectional analysis, and I actually would like to put on the record that I missed something in Section 3. The member of a multidisciplinary care team definition also includes advanced nurse practitioners. You'll see that in your bill in front of you. And that concludes the sectional analysis. So thank you, Vice Chair Ruffridge, and members of the committee for your time today.
Certainly. Thank you for the sectional analysis. Deference to your desire for how the hearing would go, did you want to have questions now or move to invited testimony?
Leave it to the chair.
Okay. Let's just move to invited testimony. We do have online Gail Brayton. If you would please introduce yourself for the record and please begin your testimony.
Thank you, Vice Chair Ruffridge and members of the House and Health and Social Services Committee for hearing SB 91. My name is Gail Brayton, and I have lived in Alaska since 1983.
And my name is Tim Jennings. I'm Gail Spouse, and I have lived in Alaska since 1968, and I have ALS.
We appreciate the opportunity to testify in support of Senate Bill 91. Health care for ALS is a challenge. SB 91 will allow us to stay in Alaska for at least part of our health care via telehealth. ALS is a tremendously difficult and challenging disease. Tim will lose his ability to speak, swallow, and move his arms and legs within a few short years. There is no known cure, but researchers are very active. The first drug came out in 1995. It took 22 years for another drug to get approval. In the last 3 years, three more drugs have been approved. Many more drugs and treatment are undergoing clinical trials. Research is fast-paced. When Tim was diagnosed, we were told that he would get his best care outcome and quality of life by attending an ALS clinic with a multidisciplinary team of specialists, all focused on the nuances and latest research of ALS. The whole care team collaborates with all the other disciplines. We need the advantage of telehealth with all members of the healthcare team who are staying up with all the research to manage ALS. That is why we need SB 91. Alaska does not have specialized multidisciplinary healthcare teams for ALS. We attended our first ALS clinic at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota on February 20th. During our half-day session, we met with a neurologist, a social worker, and therapist or specialist in physical rehabilitation, speech, diet, self-care, respiration, and clinical trials. For the best outcome, they want to see Tim every 3 months. Travel is time-consuming, red eyes disrupt sleep, and it is expensive. As the disease progresses, it will become nearly impossible to travel. Telemedicine with all the members of the ALS clinic will be key to managing this disease. But unless SB 91 passes, that won't be an option. Time is of the essence with this short terminal prognosis for this disease. Please act now. Keep Alaskans in Alaska and help terminally ill patients like my husband receive the integrated health care that will help him achieve the best quality of life possible. We urge you to please pass SB 91.
Thank you for your attention. in consideration of SB91 and the allowing us the opportunity to testify, which will allow for all members of an interdisciplinary care team to meet with me via telehealth. Thank you.
And thank you for your testimony. Is there any questions for Ms. Brayton? Representative Mina.
Thank you, Vice Chair Ruffridge. Through the Vice Chair, I just wanted to say just thank you for your testimony and for you both for sharing your story and your experience and the urgency of a bill for this situation.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you again. Oh, Representative Fields.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a constituent who continues to undergo cancer treatment and would benefit from this bill. And seeing as we're approaching the end of the session, I would wonder if anyone objects to moving the bill at this time.
Well, thank you, Representative Fields. I certainly think the intention of the committee would be to move this bill as quickly as possible. I think we still do have some folks online.
Oh, for public testimony.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Fields. All right. Thank you, Ms. Brayton. Next online, we do have Brooke Lavender with the ALS Association. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Vice Chair Ruffridge and members of the committee for allowing me to testify today in support of Senate Bill 91. For the record, I am Brooke Lavender. I'm a Girdwood resident and a care services manager for the ALS Association. I currently serve the entire state alone, and I am really eager for us to expand services here. Senate Bill 91 is a crucial legislation, that could significantly benefit individuals with terminal illnesses across our state, particularly those living with ALS, MS, and cancer. ALS is a progressive neurodegenerative disease that affects the nerve cells in the brain and spinal cord. It is always fatal, and there is no current cure. People with ALS often lose their ability to speak, move, and eventually lose their ability, while their cognitive function typically remains the same. My cousin Nick Sloan passed away from ALS last June. Nick, a Marine veteran, founded a nonprofit called Attack by Sloan after his diagnosis, highlighting the urgent need for action. Witnessing the lack of ALS resources in Alaska, I became involved as a crisis coordinator. But I was deeply moved by the challenges faced by families in our state. We watched Nick quickly lose his ability to walk, speak, and eventually breathe. Last summer, when Nick passed away, I drove to Texas to be with my family and lay Nick to rest at the National Cemetery. He was 46 years old. There were a few moments during the grieving process that I thought about moving back to Texas, but I decided that the fight for people here in Alaska with ALS was reason enough alone for me to return, and I'm so glad that I did. Alaskan ALS patients must travel out of state for multidisciplinary clinic care due to the absence of an ALS clinic here in Alaska. This journey poses risks and financial burdens. Yet the benefits of specialized clinics, including advanced treatments and support systems, are undeniable. Senate Bill 91 addresses this by expanding telehealth services, a vital lifeline for remote patients. I serve as a clinic liaison for the ALS Association at the Puget Sound and American League Day Clinics, where veterans see their entire multidisciplinary clinic team every three months via telehealth. Their quality of life is significantly different from those who do not have the same access. In addition to all of the quality of life benefits, we increase equity of care to those who live in rural areas that are unable to travel multiple times a year to receive care from each specialist required for their ALS care. With access to 7 or 8 specialists for an hour, they receive comprehensive care without overextending themselves physically or financially. SB 91 offers hope for individuals with ALS, regardless of their location, by facilitating access to comprehensive care through telehealth. I urge the committee to support SB 91. We can pave the way for improved care for ALS patients and their families. Thank you for considering my testimony.
And thank you for your testimony. Is there any committee questions or comments for Ms. Lafter? All right, seeing none, thank you for your testimony. That is the end of our invited testimony. We do have some folks online for public testimony, so I will open up public testimony at this time. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify on Senate Bill 91? Seeing none, we do have a couple of folks online. First up is Hosanna Hartsong. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony, and you will have 3 minutes.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay. My name is Hosanna Hartsong. I live in Soldotna, and I have MS and often talk in a circle. So I had notes, and instead of trying to articulate for myself, I want to say thank you for hearing this bill. I want to say thank you to those speakers that have come before me, and I could never, ever have said it as well as they did. And so, again, on behalf of ALS and other, other conditions, I respectfully request that you pass this bill. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you for your testimony. And also, Ms. Hartsong, we did receive your written testimony as well. So I appreciate you providing testimony in support of the bill. Next online, we have Emily Ninon. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony, and you have 3 minutes.
Good afternoon. This is Emily Ninon. I'm the Alaska Government Relations Director for the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. I'm based in Anchorage, and I'm on the road today because of the amazing work that was done in the last update to the telehealth law. I actually am attending the National Comprehensive Cancer Network annual conference to talk to state oncology societies and the leading comprehensive cancer centers about getting access to Alaskans' patients. The access is already in state law, and I appreciate the opportunity to work with Sylvan Robb and these comprehensive cancer centers, leading cancer centers around the country, to get them to recognize what opportunities are available for Alaskans. Unlike ALS, cancer is pretty common in Alaska, and most cancers are able to be treated with no problem in Alaska. However, if you have a complex case, an unusual case, a rare cancer, or in need of innovative some of the groundbreaking research that's happening around the country, that's where people are having to go out of state. And what we learned from the last bill that passed was that the same issues that are coming up for cancer patients of being able to only see the physician and not some of the other people on the physician's team. The multidisciplinary care team model is the model that is used at the leading cancers, comprehensive cancer centers in the nation. And as such, it's important for folks to have access for all the reasons you heard, and add on top of that people that are immune compromised because of their treatment. Travel is beyond challenging. The other thing that I want to point out that I think is kind of interesting is what I'm hearing from both patients and from local physicians is that when cancer patients can get access to that out-of-state complementary care, the supplemental care to what they've been getting at home, they actually are getting more of their care at home as well, as opposed to if they have to fly out of state, if they have to move out of state, they're taking all of their care out of state. So this is an opportunity to kind of strike that balance and get people the care that they need, and also support them patients being able to stay at home in Alaska, where their support networks are and where their home healthcare teams are as well. If there are questions, I'm happy to entertain those, and I will give the committee's greetings to the National Comprehensive Cancer Network when I talk to them about what's already available in Alaska for telehealth and what we hope is just on the horizon. Thank you for your support.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions? Seeing none, that does bring us to the end of online testimony. Back to the room, making sure there's no one. There is none. I will close public testimony. Public testimony is closed. Back in front of the committee. Any committee questions or comments for the bill sponsor or staff? Representative Mina.
Thank you, Vice Chair Ruffridge. I just have to say, from working on the telehealth bill a couple of years ago, I think this is such a great addition to what is currently in law, and I really appreciate you all working on this.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Mina. Any further questions or discussion? Seeing none, Representative Sumner, did you have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I move Senate Bill 91, version 33LS0193/S from committee with attached individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes. And yeah.
Are there any objection to moving bill? All right, seeing none, House or Senate Bill 91 has advanced from committee. And I believe that is the last item on our agenda for today. So we will adjourn, having just had our chair return at 4:19 p.m. Unless there's anything, Representative Prox, Mr. Chair, that you'd like to...
We'll take your word for it.
Okay, we will adjourn at 4:20 p.m. Please stick around and sign the paperwork. We are adjourned.